Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today is Thursday, July the 27th, 2023. Thank you for listening to AFR. And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Fred. Hey there, Tim. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And our brother in Kansas City, Ray Pritchard.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Temperature right now in KC is what?
Oh, gosh. It's like 1,000 degrees. It's 86.
Oh, wow.
It was over 100 here yesterday. It felt like Dallas, which was not really a compliment, let me tell you. Just hot and sweaty. And
because you live several years in the Dallas area.
Yeah, so. I did. And last night, it was still 88 degrees at 11 p.m. There's something wrong with that.
That's just wrong.
The high today in Fargo, North Dakota, 95.
Wow.
Now, normally when you talk about weather in Fargo, it has to do with snow flurries in May.
Duly noted.
But 95 today, so.
There's a heat wave all over America.
Yes.
But guess what? At least where we live, we're looking at 5 or 6 days of summertime heat wave, but then it's going to get down to normal, 94, 92, 92, 92. So,
yep, it happens.
The world's not going to burn up.
Don't forget to pray for those poor souls working the press box at the football game in a couple of weeks, because that is an oven.
Yeah. It's going to be rough.
They don't have ACs in the press box now?
I've been to some places where they don't.
I used to do that. I think they got ACs now. Yeah. But anyway.
It's cyclical. Weather's cyclical. I remember being young, and every summer you would watch NBC or ABC, and they would go to a reporter in Phoenix.
Right.
All right, in about July or August. And the reporter, it was a thing to do. They'd go to the parking lot of the TV station. They'd crack an egg on the asphalt, and it would fry.
We did that inside a station vehicle one time at a place that I worked for.
You know, it's been going on for years.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, so now – Hillary Clinton, a couple of days ago, she decided she would chime in on the weather. You know, she's a weather lady. And she said, if you don't like the heat wave, you can blame MAGA Republicans.
Right.
Remember that?
Okay.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what she said. That's what she said. What she's getting at there is she's trying to blame, quote, global warming on global warming deniers, which that's people like us who don't believe in man-made global warming.
So it's our fault that it's 95 today.
She said thank a MAGA Republican. You know, as you just said, who knows these statistics that they report oftentimes, whether you can even trust them or not. But hot in the summer and cold in the winter in North America, and give or take some changes here or there. And that's the way it's always been. And I just don't, you know, man-made globe. If the globe is warming, it's not because I'm driving a SUV. Okay.
No.
It's because the planet is too big and the climate is too uncontrollable by you know, usually these climate change environmentalists, they cite America as the problem. America. Yes. Meanwhile, China and India are the worst polluters in the world, but it's always a focus on the U.S., right?
That's the way
it is. Canada.
And Canada. Yeah, China is opening up a coal-fired generator almost every week over there.
Right.
You know,
so Greta Thunberg, why don't you go over there and lay down in front of that
Chinese
plant.
See how that works out for you.
It is. Right. I talked to a skeptic this week, Mark Morano of Climate Depot, for a story that's in the system airing today about Hillary's claim. Power of the Future also just ripped her saying, you know, she's trying to, you know, get attention. There's no way scientifically possible. You can vote your weather, all this kind of stuff. So stay tuned for that. But I will mention something Hillary fails to take into account, or perhaps her supporters. In my 41 years on this planet we call Earth, Democrats have had control of Congress and the White House as much as, if not more, than Republicans. Mm-hmm. So right. If there is a problem, and I'm using air quotes,
right,
they're just as much to blame. And she has a massive carbon footprint
for
travel all over the
world. All these people that promote climate change and blame the rest of us for driving cars, you know what they're doing right now? They're over there in the Mediterranean, vacation on their big private yachts.
Right.
And guess what they flew to get over there, Ray? Yeah.
Some big jets.
They're private jets.
If the sea level is rising, why do the Obamas live on Martha's Vineyard?
Bingo. Just bingoed, Chris. All right, so enough about the weather.
We resolved that.
Yeah. Things are really heating up for one Hunter Biden.
Yes.
How you like that? You like what I did right there?
Good transition. Nice.
Listen, we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. It's boring to talk about. I mean, really, but it needs to be, it has to be discussed. It's probably the number one news story in America right now. And Chris, why don't you lay it out for us?
Yes. Well, as Fred came and broke the news to us yesterday, in the event you were not aware of what I'm about to share, I'm going to set it up a little bit here. Hunter went to court yesterday in Delaware, his home state, federal court, to enter a guilty plea for not paying his taxes on time a few years ago. This is a separate situation from lying on the gun form. We'll get into that in a second. But Hunter went to court to plead guilty and get a slap on the wrist, something many people have said he only was going to get because of his last name and his dad being the president. But Hunter goes to court, and the plea falls apart in court. The judge has questions. The judge wants to know whether he's being investigated for other things. When the judge finds out that he is, she has serious concerns about just agreeing to this plea agreement, which, by the way, was recommended by the Justice Department, which is overseen by somebody the president put in a position of authority. So the plea agreement ends up falling apart, and he pleads not guilty. So this case is going to play out now in terms of him not paying his taxes on time. Meanwhile, you have the situation coming in the next few days where one of his, I guess, former friends is now going to testify to House Republicans that Joe did know about Hunter's business dealings. They had many conversations about it, and this guy was part of those situations.
All right, this can get complex and confusing.
I need one of those, like, whiteboard
things. Yeah, I know, right. Let me try to tim it down for you here, okay? And correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, you've studied this, and Ray, you may have too, and Chris certainly has. All right, so Hunter Biden is in trouble with the law, federal government, for not paying his taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
On two big amounts of money.
Millions.
Millions of dollars from a few years ago that he was found out for.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's also in trouble for possessing a firearm while he's a drug addict.
Correct.
Is that simplified enough?
He applied to get to buy a gun.
Right.
And you're supposed to declare if you have problems with cocaine or whatever. He did not do that.
He lied about it.
Yes.
He said he was not in any kind of drug trouble so that he could get the gun.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Okay, these are kind of two separate things.
Yes.
But they're – so here we go. Hunter hires lawyers. Okay. And then the prosecution is our representatives of the Department of Justice, which is under Merrick Garland, the AG, who's under the big guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty clever right there.
Mm-hmm.
The big guy is the President of the United States, Joe Biden. So, in essence, the DOJ, Biden's DOJ, is responsible for prosecuting his son.
Yep.
True?
That's yes.
Right. Okay. What happened is these the lawyers for Hunter Biden, the personal lawyers, and the lawyers for the DOJ, they worked out an agreement, a plea agreement, prior to going to court to present this to the judge, the federal judge, right?
Yes.
Okay. So they go before the federal judge yesterday. This is kind of supposed to be just a formality. And the judge figures out that the DOJ lawyers and Hunter Biden's lawyers are trying to pull a fast one on her,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're trying to give Hunter Biden not only to get in trouble, to get him out of keeping going to jail over these tax evasion problems, but also to grant him immunity from any prosecutions going forward in his life, sounded like to me, basically having to do with his foreign dealings with Ukrainian companies and Chinese companies, all the influence peddling and money he was making while his dad was VP.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to slip that in there in the plea agreement. And it was basically the proverbial fox guarding the chicken coop, right?
That's right.
The fox being the DOJ lawyers, the chicken coop being where Hunter Biden was with his lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretended to be adversaries when, in fact, they're in cahoots with one another.
That's right.
And the judge figured this out and said, wait a minute. Hunter Biden, is basically getting a sweetheart deal that nobody else would get
mm-hmm.
under these circumstances, and I'm not going to agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did I lay it out?
Yep. It was misdemeanor charges. They had worked. Yeah, I don't know why Hunter Biden even had to bother hiring his own lawyers, because he had the Justice Department working for him.
Oh, Fred, that was good.
That was a waste of money.
Yeah,
right.
On the gun issue, the deal that Hunter Biden had worked out was he agreed to go into a diversion program. So they did not even charge
him. What is
him.
That? What's
a diversion program is where you go away to camp for a couple of months and, you know, you
divert?
Yeah, you divert. I'm going to be a good boy from now on.
Okay.
Here's the issue. There was an interview done this morning with Radcliffe, I think mm-hmm. it is. John Radcliffe used to be Trump's intelligence.
Yes.
Anyway, here's the record on somebody like Hunter Biden who lied on a federal form to purchase a gun, denying that he had a problem with cocaine. The record is nobody can find anybody else who is allowed to slip through things on a diversion program. Everybody else gets fined. It carries, it's a federal offense, carries 10-year prison term. Hunter Biden is the only one on record, according to this interview done this morning, he's the only one on record who got offered a diversion program. No charges.
Yeah. Well, the judge basically shut this thing down, and they tore up the plea agreement.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to come back later with something else before the judge, right?
Yeah, and what they were trying to do is plea. The judge accepts that. But what she asked the question of the prosecution lawyers there yesterday, by the way, are you guys still investigating Hunter Biden for some other issues? Yes, ma'am. Well, she says, I'm not going to accept this plea because if I accept it and you guys are still investigating and there may be charges coming down the road, Hunter Biden's lawyers can say double jeopardy.
Yeah, Ray, I watch Law and Order every once in a while, so I know right. what's going on here. But, you know, I don't remember hearing about a case where somebody goes before a judge, a lawyers, and say, listen, not only do we want a plea deal for what the crimes that have been committed here, we'll plead guilty, but we want a for here and forevermore, any crimes that may be discovered or committed, we want immunity from it.
You know, the fix was in from the beginning. Andrew McCarthy wrote an article yesterday in the New York Post about this, Tim, and he pointed out that the essence of our system is adversarial, and it's good that it's that way, that the defense takes one side and the prosecution takes another side. That's the way the American legal system works. It doesn't work when basically the defense and the prosecutors are on the same side of the table. So they were trying to fix this deal so that if the judge had agreed to it, then Hunter Biden could skate on anything else that might be brought up against him. I'm actually, I want to say kudos to this judge.
Yep.
It took some kind of courage mm-hmm. for her to smoke out this ugly, ugly backroom deal and have the courage to explode it in an open courtroom setting.
Yeah.
All praise to her, because a lot of judges would have just rubber stamped it and accepted the plea deal and
Especially
that's since, clearly what they thought was going to happen.
Especially since she's in, she lives in Biden country.
Right, she's in Delaware.
In Delaware, so I don't know what the docket is next for an appearance to come back before her, but they're going to go have to.
They've been given 30 days.
Okay, to come back with something different.
With something different, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about that gun situation is, you know, the Democrats are always pushing gun control.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to push gun control, you should want the max on somebody who violates gun laws, right?
Right.
So they, the Democrats should be calling for maximum imprisonment for Hunter Biden to show that they're consistent and that he will serve as an example.
That's right.
To the rest of the country, if you violate gun laws,
yes,
I'm sure this is the direction they're going to go. Don't you think, guys? No,
yeah. Get a better chance of Sewanee winning the SEC.
Sewanee University, you're going back 100 years.
I'm sure Joe Biden went to school there.
All right. Okay, so are we done with this story? Because anything else?
For the moment.
One more thing we want to mention. Come Monday. A gentleman by the name of Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's former business partner, is going to give testimony behind closed doors as to the relationship he had with Hunter Biden, and he is expected to refute what President Joe Biden and candidate Joe Biden has been telling people for years. Joe Biden has been saying, I know nothing about my son's businesses. Mm-hmm. Well, Devin Archer is going to say not so, that he knows for sure that Joe Biden is well aware and perhaps has participated in the business. Missouri Representative Jason Smith, I believe he heads the committee that's going to hear this testimony. On Monday, he was on Fox and Friends this morning, cut number two.
I can tell you it's very concerning. I've just seen how Hunter Biden's lawyers have tried to discredit the two IRS whistleblowers in my committee. The 10-page letter that I received from Hunter Biden's lawyers trying to intimidate my investigation, I can understand why this witness is concerned, because we've been experiencing it just as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. They are reaching to all lows into trying to stop this investigation.
Yeah, we've heard that Devin Archer's been in hiding. Mm-hmm. Because he's worried about his physical health.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how this affects the political campaign of Joe Biden, he's already has a, you know, he's underwater on his approval rating. The economy, I mean, is a mixed bag out there.
It is.
Out there, you know, some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, whether Joe Biden ever gets in trouble for taking bribes, I'll just say it like everybody's thinking. There's evidence to support that theory, but it hasn't been proven in Congress or in a court of law. Let me just say it that way. But I think in the court of public opinion, this all looks so bad. So bad. I'm not talking about Hunter Biden's personal life, which is, as I said yesterday, been a train wreck. I'm talking about Joe Biden saying he never talks to his son about his business deals, which I said yesterday, well, if you don't talk to your son about about his business, who does that? Nobody. And you say he's the smartest guy you've ever known. How do you know that? You don't even talk to him about his business. So nobody believes that. So that's a lie. So if he's going to lie about something as simple as I never talked to my son about his business deals, how do you trust anything else Biden says about what he knows about this whole situation?
Or anything in general. What else have you lied to us about?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just the whole thing, it looks sleazy, and it is sleazy. Hunter Biden making 70, 80 grand a month or something like that off that Ukrainian, was it Burisma?
Burisma, the energy company.
Paying him that kind of money for what? He had no expertise in energy or gas.
Mm-hmm.
He just was the son of the vice president, which makes it look like, well, you're paying him not for anything that he adds to the board, only because he's the vice president's son, which you can get some kind of special deals from for your business, influence peddling. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's what it looks like, just plain as day. So I just think this hurts Biden to the extent that he can be hurt any worse politically in his, you know, going forward.
The next question is, and Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has alluded to this, they are still working on the feasibility of this on an impeachment inquiry.
Yeah.
If it reaches that stage, that gives the House even further legal ability to go after documents. They think there's a whole lot more to this story, and we'll see what happens.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Yes, Chris.
I want to point this out because it shows, I bring it up because it shows how you and your support of AFR can have an impact on people in general. One of our Facebook commenters today says that she's watching the show from Africa. She's watching it on Facebook.
Well, hello, we're
now,
waving.
The reason I bring this up is because we're all in the great state of Mississippi talking to people in the United States of America. But based on the support that people have given to this ministry, we're able to be here and have a Facebook page. So that's just really awesome that we can have an impact in beyond Tupelo, Mississippi. And I'm from a small town, so praise God.
That's great.
That's neat.
Try that in a small town.
I've heard that.
Hello, to our listeners across the, you know, wherever. I know we do have international listeners in Africa there.
I think that's so cool.
Fantastic.
All right. By the way, you can watch. There's two places to watch this video. The Facebook. Go to Facebook, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show live there. We also have our own video streaming service. Streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net is our own video service. We got about a minute, Chris. What do you got?
Well, let's do this J. Christian Adams audio. Fred mentioned a moment ago the impeachment possibility of Joe Biden based on a whole number of things here. And our very own Chad Groening talked with attorney J. Christian Adams about the impeachment situation here. And I think it kind of wraps up the discussion. Clip four.
Do we want to have a country that part of the tradition of becoming president is eventually you're going to be impeached? I think there's something unhealthy unless there's a political will to do it. And when I mean political will, I mean that a sizable percentage of the middle and maybe even a couple Democrats are in favor of it. Otherwise, you run the risk of diluting the meaning of impeachment. You know, we had to do it to Trump twice just for good measure, apparently. When every president has to go through the impeachment ritual when the House is controlled by the other party. I'm not super excited about it because I care a lot about the stability of the Republic these days and a little bit less about feeling good and kicking somebody in the shins.
All right. Let's just go ahead and take our break right here. That was J. Christian Adams. Talking about the potential for impeaching President Biden. A strange thing happened yesterday with Senate Minority Leader
Mitch McConnell
right. From Kentucky. It was really odd to watch, and we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. Stay with us.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, we thank you for listening. We're three of us in the studio here, Chris, Fred, and Tim, and Ray's working remote from Kansas City. So, guys, one of the best things about summertime, and I love summertime, probably my favorite time of year, even though by the time the heat, you get tired of the heat, which I love hot weather, quite frankly. But you know, about October, you want a little
relief.
You want a little relief, maybe late September, where we live. You know, you want to go outside and enjoy this crisp, cool fall air. Yes. Not too cold.
No.
You know, comfortable. Little football weather is what I call it.
Sure.
So, but the best thing about summer, one of the best things, Ray, is garden vegetables.
Yeah. Fresh.
Fresh garden vegetables. And you know what? The benefit that I have here, and maybe you guys do too, is I don't have to garden.
That's right.
Because I got all these friends who do garden, and they are just giving away all kind of vegetables,
yes,
which I'll gladly take. And so I'm a vegetable welfare recipient, I guess you could say. Ray, you got a garden there in your house or no?
You know, I don't, but our son lives about a mile away, and he's got a big garden in
the backyard.
And the other day, he brought over some fresh tomatoes from his backyard garden. And I got it. There's just a big difference between a grocery store tomato and a tomato from the backyard. Unbelievable difference.
I've eaten a lot of tomato sandwiches in the last, like, 3 weeks. Just a tomato sandwich.
Well, I went back to get popcorn and back there in our break room just during our break here. And they got all kind of vegetables.
Yes.
Out of it. They got cucumbers.
Yeah,
those tomatoes, as you guys said, the garden tomatoes in the summer.
Oh, man.
Once you've had garden tomatoes in the summer and you get to November and you go to the restaurant and they got these grainy green things out there they call tomatoes, or they put them on your hamburger, it's just not.
It's not the same.
My daughter's been growing tomatoes and some other things, and she brought in some tomatoes the other night. Man, it was fantastic.
Yeah. I think we all agree on this. It's a consensus.
It's good stuff. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper.
I think any of the presidential candidates who would start championing garden tomatoes as something they want to promote would get a big boost in the polls.
Yep.
I really do.
Yep.
All right. So let me see here. We're gonna talk. All right, people. We're going to talk UFOs, and I'm serious, with Alex McFarland. We threw this subject on Alex. I'm joking around. When we say UFOs, we all think about ET, I guess. But there are some serious questions about.
There was a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday.
Yeah.
With among the witnesses were a former F-18 Navy pilot.
Right.
And some others.
We're not talking Martians necessarily.
No.
Little green people.
Although we might be.
Although we might be. So we'll tease.
We don't really know. We don't know what we're talking about here.
So Alex McFarland's on with us most Thursdays, and we have to come up with a topic for Alex.
That's good. This is good.
So we said, hey, let's throw the UFO topic at Alex. So we're going to do that in about 9 minutes coming up on this program. Well, one of our popular weekend shows here on AFR is what, Fred?
Understanding the Times with Jan Markell from Minnesota. And we always tease, most of the year we tease Jan about weather where she lives.
Right.
And
not this week.
Not now. Jan, you can get out on your back porch this time of the year, can you?
Well, sometimes if it's unusual, I have to say as we speak, it's as hot as Mississippi as we speak.
Wow.
Right. I'm gonna look up, let's see, Twin Cities, Minneapolis.
It's going up to 97 today.
Wow.
Well, Jan, you can't win. You can't get out in the wintertime because it's like 40 below and snowing.
Right.
And summer comes and it's sweltering hot.
Okay, listen, before we start feeling all sorry for Jan, it's 96 today.
Okay.
And then 87 tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
That's
and then,
right.
And then 81, 83, cool 80, yep. Yeah, we're back to.
Let's all load up in a van and
back
go.
We're back to beautiful Minnesota summertime after today. Go ahead, Jan.
No, yeah. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Tim. A nice day is coming up.
Oh, man. All right. So, Fred, why don't you pose a question to Jan?
Yeah, lots of goings on right now in Israel, Jan. And last week we had the case of the president of Israel. He got an invite to the White House, but so far Prime Minister Netanyahu has not. And our President Joe Biden has been chastising Israel because he thinks that Netanyahu is doing something very wrong in the fight that is going on in Israel right now over the Supreme Court. So for the fact that, and I've talked about this in our story meeting this morning, the Democrats and Joe Biden here are trying to do things to control our Supreme Court, but they're chastising Netanyahu for who may have a legitimate claim about how the Supreme Court is acting there.
No, Fred, that's absolutely true. But let's go back to that meeting with President Herzog in the White House some 8-9 days ago. Mm. Remember, Mr. Biden, appeared to fall asleep during that meeting.
Yes.
And then he read some things from note cards. He mumbled. It was almost unintelligible. In other words, Joe Biden was totally underwhelmed with the president of Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, truly our ally and friend when it comes to intelligence sharing, et cetera. You have to rely on Israel for that entire region of the world, which is like 22 Arab nations, Middle East, and then some surrounding countries as well. But no, Mr. Biden falls asleep and mumbles, and we don't even know what he said. And I don't know if Fred, if you happen to look at Mr. Herzog at that time, he was speechless.
Yes. His host was not being a very good host. I'll put it mildly.
No.
Yes.
There is a host does not care one whit.
Yeah. There is a dispute, a heated dispute right now going on in Israel among Israeli citizens.
Yes.
This isn't something with Iran or Syria or anything like this. This is a U.S. Excuse me. This is an Israeli government procedure dispute going on. Do you know enough about that to describe it to our listeners, Jan?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact.
Well, let's
dispute
see. I'll throw it to Ray. Ray, if you don't, I'll give it a shot.
This has to do with how much power the Israeli Supreme Court has taken to itself. Claiming the ability to overrule anything the Knesset does or anything the Prime Minister does. And it's a pretty hot political issue in Israel right now. I mean, super hot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, well said. Yeah. But I think a greater concern is, and you mentioned it in the intro here, and that is Joe Biden is not going to meet Bibi Netanyahu, at least not in the White House. He may meet him at the UN meeting in September in New York, but he is not welcoming him to the White House. My goodness, he invites some thugs into the White House, but not, again, the president of the only free country in an area of 22 Arab states. He rejects the leader of the free world in the Middle East.
Okay, so what we got going on here is the hard political left in this country is anti-Semitic.
Yes.
Okay. They are. And they can't stand Benjamin Netanyahu, who's the prime minister of Israel. Many of them on the far left believe, not all Democrats line up in this position, but the far left and seemingly a majority of Democrats now basically adopt the position that Israel is an illegitimate government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the reason Benjamin Netanyahu is being treated the way he is. This is the same way he was treated by Obama. You remember?
Correct.
Obama disrespected Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, Biden is the irony here. Well, I don't know if it's ironic, but Biden historically, as a senator, he was pretty much pro Israel.
Yes.
But he gets elected. He has to run for White House. He gets elected. And you know, again, I think we all know he's just doing what he's told day to day.
That's right.
And so he, you know, whoever his handlers are, or Susan Rice, not there anymore, is she?
No.
Whoever's telling him where to go and what to do?
She's in the shadows, yes. She's in the shadows.
She's Obama's person, basically, in the shadows.
Yeah,
yeah. But so he just, that's where you mentioned falling asleep, slurring his words. He doesn't even know, quite frankly, what's going on.
That's right.
Half the time. And so this it's a dangerous situation that we're in as a country. But his disrespect of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is, with, as Jan says, with Israel being our ally for all these years, our most steadfast ally, especially in the Middle East, you know, and Biden meets with all kind of people. President of the United States, whoever he is,
exactly.
Trump, Obama, Biden, they meet
That's
with,
right.
I remember when I was in Washington, this was seven, 8 years ago, I guess. We were staying at a hotel, and this motorcade came by. I can't remember if it was Obama or Trump was president at the time. But anyway, this big motorcade came by the hotel. Well, it was the president of China.
Mm-hmm.
He was in town. And, you know, so I'm just saying, China is one of the leading violators of human rights in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they get a reception.
Yes.
In the U.S.
Exactly,
by,
right.
So presidents, U.S. presidents meet with dignitaries and leaders all over the world, whether they're elected or whether they're a king mm-hmm. or a dictator. Mm-hmm. That happens regularly. So there, it's selective treatment.
Yes.
Which says, well, why? And I say it's anti-Semitic. I say it's anti-Jewish.
Yes.
Well, you had a resolution. Well, the Republicans put forward a resolution about 10 days ago. Does this country support Israel? 9 Democrats either didn't show up or voted against that
mm-hmm. yeah.
for that vote. All Democrats.
All right, Jan, what do you got coming up on your show this weekend?
Dr. Dave Reagan will be with me this weekend. We're going to talk about the 9 wars, the biblical war talked about in the Bible for end time, the 9 end time wars in the Bible. So we've got all 9 of them ahead of us, which sounds like a very bloody future. I think the question is, how many of these wars will Christians see? Some are in the tribulation. One is at the end of the millennium. That's a Gog Magog in Revelation 16, I believe. So that's what we're going to talk about this weekend. It's a great lesson in apologetics with Dave Reagan.
Tell Dave I said hello. He's a good friend of ours.
Good. Yep. We'll do that. Thank you.
Lamb and Lion Ministries, right?
Yes. Yes,
yep.
Correct.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jan.
Bye now.
Fred, when's Jan's show air this week?
Jan's show is on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central and on Sunday at 12 noon. And, of course, you can go to her website, Olive Tree Ministries, and she has all her programs there and a lot of great content, books, and that sort of thing. If you're interested in end times, prophecy, Jan is the corner you need to go to.
Right. What do you think about what I said? Why are some parts of the Democrat Party, the hard left, again, not everybody, why are they so anti-Israel?
Well,
or anti-Jewish?
Well, really, those are two similar but a little bit distinct kind of questions. I think they hate Israel for a number of reasons. It's the strongest democracy in the Middle East. It's the best friend America has in the Middle East. They really don't like the idea of a Jewish homeland. They were against it and have been for many, many years. And I think in some degree it goes back to a hatred of the fact that God chose the Jews in the beginning. I mean, there's a biblical aspect to the stem going all the way back that God chose Abraham, and out of Abraham, through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the way down, he chose the nation of Israel to be his people. I'm not saying that the secular state of Israel today perfectly equals Israel in the Old Testament. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the Jewish people are God's chosen people, and that has not changed, and the people on the left don't want to hear that.
Gotcha. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Chris, you still there?
I am, and I will tell you real quick, before the break, real quick, you had mentioned that Mitch McConnell.
That's right. I wanted yesterday. To talk about that for just a minute. I tell you what, we'll bring Alex in right now. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody.
Alex McFarland. Hey, Alex, before we get to the UFOs, you know that's your topic, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, you prepared?
I was briefed on that.
You prepared for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Before we do that, there was a situation yesterday in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C., where United States Senator Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, who is the Senate Minority Leader, he and a couple of his deputies, I've forgotten who they were, Senator Thune from South Dakota, and there's another gentleman there, U.S. Senator, I've forgotten.
Barrasso.
Okay, from?
John Barrasso from Wyoming.
Wyoming, okay. Those two fellows were flanking McConnell, and I don't know what exactly McConnell was going to talk about, but he probably does that every day, you know, when Congress is in session, sort of giving his perspective on the events of the day in the United States Senate, especially from a Republican perspective. Well, by the way, do we have this clip?
We do not have the audio. No,
okay. Well, I don't know that it helps very much, except that do we have that posted on our Facebook page? Okay. We'll post it on our Facebook page. So what happened is Senator McConnell goes to speak, and he starts speaking. If you can find that, I'd like to play it sometime before the show's over, even though it's much more impactful if you can see it. But he's talking, and then mid-sentence, he freezes. Expressionless.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for like 20 seconds, he just got a blank stare.
Yeah, like he's frozen.
Mm. He's frozen. Mm-hmm. It was really strange.
It was
to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Senator Thune comes up and they sort of prod him like, "Hey, Mitch, let's." They realized something medically was going on here, mm-hmm. and he probably needed to get out from this situation and maybe get medical attention because.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was. I watched it. I was going, wow, something's wrong there.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell, he's 80?
Mm-hmm. 80 or 81. Yeah. Is Barrasso a medical doctor as well?
I'm not sure.
I think one of those senators is a medical doctor, but they recognized right away something was wrong. They kind of escorted him back to a back room. But Mitch McConnell came back a short time later. He says, I'm all right. He had an accident. He had a fall not too long ago, mm-hmm. a couple of months back, and he had a concussion. So people aren't sure whether what happened yesterday is related to that or to something else. But
Alex, did you see it?
Yeah, and he's 81.
He's 81?
He had a concussion, didn't he,
yes.
earlier in the spring?
He had a fall
and
had
so,
a concussion.
You know,
let me
sad.
Go ahead. Let me just say this, too. this is my opinion. It's not in the Constitution. And not everybody here may agree with it. If you're 75 years old, you need to retire from Congress, Senate, House, and you don't need to run for president. And that includes Biden or Trump.
Yeah.
Trump is 77. Is that right? I think he's 77 now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I say, that isn't thus saith the Lord. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And I know there are a lot of people who are maybe supporters of President Trump who say age doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. We can still be friends. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying my point of view, I've seen too many cases where people start slipping. Their cognitive skills start slipping visibly and obviously from the age of 75 to 85.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People slow down. They just do. They slow down. And you see what's happened with Biden. Now, Biden was already slipping when he was running. That's the reason he stayed in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten far worse in the last year. We've all seen that. Then that doesn't necessarily happen to anybody. I agree. Everybody's different. But I'm just saying, in general, people's energy, their thinking skills, their ability to move around declines rapidly from 75 to 85. And anybody listening to me who's going through that and seen that, we all know that happens.
Mm-hmm.
With people. And so when you see something like what happened with Mitch McConnell, I'm going, this guy needs to retire and go home and go fishing with his great-grandchildren or whatever the case may be. Not be running the country. Same for Biden. Dianne Feinstein from California. She is.
And Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. I don't know what these people, they can't retire and enjoy their life. They have to be called Mrs. Speaker or Mr. Senator. Why they can't just give it up? Maybe it's the ego. Maybe it's the power. They get used to that lifestyle and they can't give it up. But anyway, do you agree with me? Do you agree with my 75-year-old rule, Alex, or are you?
You know, I could agree with that. To be honest, Tim, I hadn't thought of it before, but I mean, I believe in trying to be consistently honest, and we've long been concerned about Biden's age, and I would not mind saying that I'm equally concerned about McConnell's age, and Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. All of these people we know. You know, Reagan went in at 69. I don't know if you remember this, but people were freaking out that Reagan would be 69 when he took office in January of 81. Do you guys remember that?
I remember that, and he was.
I don't remember that.
No, I know you don't, Chris. that was controversial at the time because that was considered too old to be president by a lot of people. Of course, he was overwhelmingly elected, so American people said no.
Two terms, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what happened to Reagan the last?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Ray, you remember that?
Yeah. Do you remember, there were once or twice when Reagan, and listen, I'm the biggest Reagan fan you'll ever meet, but he took a power nap in the middle of a function. Do you remember that? Like for 30 seconds.
But didn't he develop Alzheimer's?
He did. This was long after he was out of office.
Yeah. Okay, but he was showing signs of early dementia,
by
Alzheimer's.
77.
Remember that?
He left office at
the last couple of years of his presidency, which he would have been how old?
77.
Okay.
When he left office.
You know, to put it mildly, president of the United States is a demanding job.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a demanding job.
Yeah.
We're not saying everybody has to retire from their job, but particular jobs, you know, airline pilots, they are forced to retire out of the cockpit at 65.
Okay.
That rule is in place.
That makes sense to me.
And there's reasons for that.
Yes.
There's reasons for that.
Yes.
I think in the Mitch McConnell case, we kind of discussed this at the story meeting, there may be some political considerations. He is from Kentucky. Kentucky has a Democrat governor right now.
Mm-hmm.
If Mitch McConnell was to go home right now and retire, the Democrat governor, Beshear, would have the right to select somebody to replace him.
Okay. Then my opinion changes whether it's a Republican or Democrat running. If it's a Republican, I say go for it until you're 97. If it's a Democrat, I think you need to retire when you're 47 because you're getting too old. There are political considerations. Here's what I'm just saying, that Mitch McConnell, in my view, was when you get to be 75 – you need to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That way you don't find yourself in this position of being 81 years old and you're having a freeze-up moment and you're having to be shuffled around like Mitch McConnell was yesterday.
It was sad.
See what I'm saying?
It was sad.
That way
because if we fault Joe Biden for his health and his obvious cognitive decline, they're going to throw right back at us and say, "Well, Exhibit A, Mitch McConnell."
Yeah. So anyway, Alex, can you stay over after the break?
I am so sorry, folks. I cannot.
That's disappointing.
I've got to run to a function. But hey, we had 17 kids accept Christ at camp in South Carolina this week, and next week we're in Iowa. So please keep us in prayer.
Yep. Well, you're going to skip the UFO discussion then.
May I get a rain check? I wish.
Yeah,
I could
you get
stay,
a rain check. We talk about it next week. Maybe there'll be a sighting between now and then that makes the news.
Folks,
you can talk
keep
about.
Your eyes on the eastern sky because one day it'll open up and Christ is coming back.
Amen.
Amen.
So your summer, we got a minute here. Your summer camps that you've held. Yeah, are you done? When is the last one?
We've got three more. We've done four. We've got till. August 20th, we've got New Jersey and Iowa and North Carolina yet to come. And
are you full on those?
No, actually, if you go to equipretreat.org, we still have space in North Carolina and New Jersey. And we had, just this week in South Carolina, we had a father and son that listened to AFR came from Wisconsin. Wow. We had a group that came from Oklahoma. It's just great. And kids are getting saved.
Okay,
and we're trying to,
what's the website?
Equipretreat.org.
Now, these are camps for teenagers, right?
Middle school and high school.
Middle school, high school. They're a Christian apologetic. How long do they last?
5 days. And I'm going to post a video of me going down a zip line and falling into a lake. You're going to love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Bert is now on the clock.
Is Iowa sold out?
Iowa, I'm not for sure on that one.
Okay.
But I think it is, actually.
Okay. Well, check it out. New Jersey, Iowa, North Carolina. And that'll close out the summer camps
For 23.
For 23. Well, thank you for doing that, Alex.
God bless you guys.
Alex put all those camps together.
Zipline baptism.
So where are you going to post that?
We'll put it on the Exploring the Word Facebook page.
All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes with some UFO talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.